9. Joseph and Potiphar's wife. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Potiphar, an Egyptian who was one of the Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him there. The Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered, and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and he entrusted to his care everything he owned. From the time he put him in charge of his household and of all that he owned, the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. The blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, both in the house and in the field. So Potiphar left everything he had in Joseph's care. With Joseph in charge, he did not concern himself with anything except the food he ate. Now Joseph was well built and handsome, and after a while his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, "Come to bed with me." But he refused. "With me in charge," he told her, "my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns, he has entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God?" And though she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her or even be with her. One day, he went into the house to attend to his duties, and none of the household servants was inside. She caught him by his cloak and said, "Come to bed with me." But he left his cloak in her hand and ran out of the house. When she saw that he had left his cloak in her hand and had run out of the house, she called her household servants. "Look," she said to them, "this Hebrew has been brought to us to make sport of us. He came in here to sleep with me, but I screamed. When he heard me scream for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house." She kept his cloak beside her until his master came home. Then she told him this story. "That Hebrew slave you brought us came to me to make sport of me, but as soon as I screamed for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house." When his master heard the story his wife told him, saying, "This is how your slave treated me," he burned with anger. Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. But while Joseph was there in the prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all those held in prison, and he was made responsible for all that was done there. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care, because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. Amen.
Small group notes are there for those who need them. So we're in our series looking at the life of Joseph. And we saw in that very first week that God had a plan and a purpose for Joseph's life. But in order for that plan and that purpose to be fulfilled, God had to do a number of things in him. And just at the very start, let me remind you, I believe that God has given to each one of you gifts and talents, both natural and supernatural. He has a plan and a purpose that he is working out in your life. And it may just be, though, that he has to do some things in you in order to get you to where he wants you to be and in order to use you how he wants to use you. But we left Joseph in a pretty sorry state. Last time we saw him, he was down a pit. And the beloved son, the favored son, had become the hated brother. And he was despised by his brothers so much that they, in fact, they beat him, took his robe, his pressured robe, and they were going to kill him, but they decided to, God protected him, and they decided to sell him instead and to make some money out of it and just pretend he had died. And so that's where we left him, being sold by his brothers to the Ishmaelites. And then in that reading that Daniel just read to us from chapter 39, we see that he ends up in Potiphar's palace, the captain of the guard of Pharaoh, and becomes one of his servants. Now, throughout that chapter 39, there was one phrase, there was one statement, and it's already been given away. So there's one phrase, one statement that came up more than anything else. And it was this: the Lord was with Joseph. In this chapter 39, the writer is wanting to tell us more than anything else, through all the experiences that Joseph is about to go through, that the Lord is with him. That's at the very heart of what it's all about. And I want to say again, right at the very start of this sermon, okay, that this is the heart of the message, that just as the Lord was with Joseph, the Lord is with you, okay? Just as the Lord was with Joseph, in the pit, in the palace, in the prison, so he's with you. That's the heart of the message. So if you've got something more important to do, you can be free now. Thanks very much. But if you haven't got anything more important to me and you're happy to listen to me and I'm not on mute, then let's get stuck in to see exactly where the Lord was with Joseph. Well, the first area that we see that he was clearly with Joseph was this, that he was with him in his success. In verse 2, we read this: the Lord was with Joseph and he prospered, and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and he entrusted to his care everything he owned. From the time that he put him in charge of his household and all that he owned, the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. The blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, both in the house and in the field. So he left in Joseph's care everything he had. With Joseph in charge, he did not concern himself with anything except for the food he ate. Can you imagine having someone like that to run your life? That they take care of everything in such an amazing way that all you have to worry about is what you're going to eat. He didn't even worry about what he was going to wear, by the sounds of it. It was just what he was going to eat. And what's important about this is that God was giving grace and favor to Joseph, but it wasn't just Joseph who recognized it, it was Potiphar. He could see clearly that God's hand was upon him, and it wasn't just the fact that Joseph was gifted and talented, and he really was, but he was beginning to use those gifts and talents that God had put within him of organizing, of administration, of stewarding, which he was going to use in an incredible way later on. God is beginning to draw them out of Joseph in this situation. And Potiphar recognizes that this is the blessing and the grace of God upon him. I wonder if that can be said of you and of me. That when people look at us, when people see us, whether it's in a workplace or family life, or what we do outside of family and work, that people could say, hey, God's hand is really upon this person. And even more amazing, that I am blessed because God's hand is upon this person. That'd be pretty cool, wouldn't it? But God is with him and he grants him success. But I've got a question. What does it mean to you to be successful and to be prosperous? In this situation, we clearly see that God was giving him success in what he did and in his work. And everything was beginning to come into being. That he was probably organizing things really well, so things were effective. He was probably making money for him in different ways. So there were lots of things happening. But often when we think of being prospered by the Lord, we think of financial terms, don't we? We think that it's all about material. It's all about God blessing us. And the more prosperous we are, and the more houses we have, the more cars we have, the more money we have in the bank, that's the favor and the blessing of God upon us. And it's important to mention these two things as well, just really quickly in Christian circles. And that is that there's two extremes in the faith. On one side, you've got the prosperity gospel. Those who believe that God is like a rich daddy and he wants to pour out his blessings upon us financially, and that every single one of us should be just living a luxurious lifestyle because God has blessed us with so much money and so much health and wealth. That's one side. But the other extreme is this, that some people that think that as the Christian we should have a poverty mentality. Because that was more like Jesus. And that really we shouldn't be looking to get any of these things. And if we have got them, that we keep hold of them and we're just miserly and we don't believe or that God wants to bless us in any way. And, you know, both those, they're extremes. They're both not very helpful. You see, I do believe that God wants to bless us in every area of life. And I do believe that for some, God wants to bless financially too. That he wants to trust people with finances. There's a guy, a famous financier called Sir John Templeton, whose main goal in life was this, to make as much money as he possibly could. So that sounds really selfish and self-centered. But it was to make as much money as he possibly could in order to give as much money as he possibly could away. Because he was a Christian. And he knew that God had given him a talent and a gift to be able to make money and to help others make money. And he used that gift and talent to give away millions of pounds every single year to worthy causes, to worthy charities. You see, he was doing what God had asked him to do. God was blessing him in order that he may be a channel of blessing to others. But if you're not in that position where you haven't necessarily got huge amounts of money or millions of pounds to give away, does that mean you're not blessed? Does that mean that God is not with you? I mean, what does that mean to the believer in North Korea? Or the believer in Sudan? How do they measure prosperity? Some 22 years ago or so, in a previous church, I was sitting in a meeting and we had a dedication just like we had this morning. So for the guy, the family who were coming, it was their fourth child. And the guy read out from Psalms about, blessed is the man who has many sons, who has his quiver full. And I remember he then, after he read it, he came forward and went, I'm blessed by God. I'm prospering in the Lord because he's blessed me with all these children. And as he said that, I just sat there in judgment, in jealousy, thinking to myself, well, Lord, does that mean you've not blessed me? We had only just months earlier discovered that we weren't able to have our own children. And I remember just sitting there thinking, Lord, that's your word. Does that mean that you've not blessed me? And I felt the Lord speak to me and say, Johnny, I've blessed you in loads of ways. And you have a choice to make this morning. You can either sit in judgment and sit in jealousy, or you can choose to rejoice in what I'm doing in this man's life. And you can choose to join in and rejoice in what I'm doing in this family's life. Because I am choosing to bless them in this way. But never say I haven't blessed you, because I've blessed you in lots of ways. And I thought, yeah, okay, Lord, help me. Help me. Help me to rejoice and try to rejoice always with those who are rejoicing and the opposite, to mourn with those who are mourning. Because you work how you want to work. And I can honestly say that I am blessed. Amen?
Amen.
And you are blessed. Whatever your situation or circumstance, I'm blessed simply because I'm standing here this morning. The fact that God had grace upon me and decided to reveal himself to me and bring me to himself, I am eternally thankful for. I'm blessed because I do what I do. I'm blessed because he's given me a beautiful wife to journey with me through the highs and the lows. I'm blessed. I'm even blessed because he allowed me to support a fairly decent football team. It could be so much worse. But seriously, I'm blessed. You know, the scriptures tell us that we are blessed in God. That Paul says that we have every spiritual blessing in Christ. I have an inheritance that is out of this world, coming my way. And so do you. We're blessed. We're so blessed. God was with Joseph, and he prospered him. He gave him in success. He was with him in success. When you're in those moments, and you know that God is blessing you, whatever it is, give thanks to God. Remember to always give thanks to God for his faithfulness and his provision. So we see that he was with him in his success. We see that he was with him in his seduction. In verse 6 it says, "Now Joseph was well built and handsome." It's amazing, isn't it? I mean, they could be writing that about me, couldn't they? So it does begin with J, I guess, doesn't it? And J was well built and handsome. And after a while, his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, "Come to bed with me." But he refused. "With me in charge," he told her, "my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns, he has entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master's withheld nothing from me except for you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God?" It's interesting that Joseph says to her, you know, that my master's put me in charge. There's no one greater. You know, I have his complete trust. So why would I do this thing against him? But most of all, why would I sin against God? Joseph says no to Potiphar's wife. He says no. And at the moment he's saying no, he's also saying yes to God. He's saying, "Yes, I want to follow your ways for my life, Lord. Lord, I want to be in the center of your will. Yes, I don't want to miss anything you have for me, Lord. I don't want to get distracted or sidetracked. I don't want to go off road, as it were. I want to stay on the path I'm meant to. So I'm going to say no to this. I'm saying yes to you, Lord." And it'd be nice, wouldn't it, when you have these temptations to suddenly think, that's it, it's done and dusted, one chance, that's finished, you know, I've overcome that. But it says, she spoke to Joseph day after day after day. He refused to go to bed with her or even to be with her. This was consistent. She was infatuated by him. He really was a good-looking boy. And she wouldn't let it go. But Joseph knows God's with him. And God gives him the strength and the courage and the perseverance to say no. Even when she tries to trap him, you know, if he fell, you could understand it. You know, your heart goes out to him and say, "Joseph, you did so well, mate. You did so well. So many times this temptation came and you battered it away. He said, no, 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 no. And then finally you fell. And you kind of, well, I would kind of feel, yeah, I think you've done well then, mate." But he doesn't. Even when it gets that intense where she tries to trap him, he runs. He gets out there. Because following God's plan for his life is more important than any instant gratification that he could get. Any passing pleasure he knows is nothing compared to being in the center of God's will. So he runs, he gets out there. So we see that God was with him in this induction. Now every single one of us are open to temptation. You know, temptation in itself isn't a sin. It's not a sin to be tempted. And we may not have Joseph's kind of temptations, as it were, but we will be vulnerable to other things. There are three areas in particular that you can have major temptations is, and I'll put it in this way, is stuff, as all the material things of this world. It's the money, it's the wealth, it's the houses, the cars, the clothes, the whatever it may be, the possessions. There's the senses, there's the physical thing that Joseph had to go through, the physical, the sex, the alcohol, the food. And there's the self, there's the power, there's the position, there's the prestige, there's the reputation, there's the fame. Money, sex, and power, the three main areas, which I would imagine that every single one of us are vulnerable somewhere. I don't know what your vulnerability is, but we need to be aware. And it's often interesting that the temptations came in the midst of his success, when he was doing well, to take him off track. So we see that God was with him, though, in his seduction. And God is and will be with us in our temptations in life. And the third area we see is that he was with him in his sentence. When Joseph says no to Potiphar's wife and he says yes to God, you think that's a great call. But who knows, sometimes doing the right thing doesn't always work out in the short term. Joseph did what was right. He followed God. He did what was right. And yet, all of a sudden, Potiphar's wife, a woman scorned, decides she's going to make up some false accusations. And she lies about Joseph. She lies about that he slept or he tried to rape her. She tells all the other staff and she tells her husband, who, of course, is furious. And he has him sent to prison. But it says in verse 20, 21, it says, but while Joseph was there in prison, the Lord was with him. Joseph did the right thing, and yet he ended up in prison. Falsely accused, unjustly in prison. You ever been falsely accused? You know, many, many years ago, again, when I was first a Christian, a company that I worked for accused me of stealing thousands of pounds from them. Someone had been fiddling the books. And after a whole afternoon of being interviewed or interrogated, I was suspended. I was sent home. But the very next day, they sent a letter out to all the staff and all the customers to say I'd been sacked because I was thieving. Not one of the accusations were true. And after 10 days of police involvement and the auditors coming in, they discovered who was doing it. And he was arrested. And of course, they realized there was nothing to do with me. So they rang me up and asked me to come back to work, to come in, to have a chat. And I'd only been a Christian probably 4 months, 5 months, something like that. And I had my non-Christian friends at that time telling me that I should take them to court, I should sue them. For defamation of character, the fact they'd sent this letter out saying I was a thief, and that I should get some compensation off them. And I could have had mixed emotions, and on the other hand, I had God speaking to me, saying, Johnny, I want you to forgive them, and I want you to go back to work, and I want you to work even harder. And when they ask you why, I want you to tell them what I've done for you. Unfortunately for me, I chose God's way. And I had some incredible conversations with people. But also he said this to me. He said, I know that every single thing you were accused of was untrue. it was force. But there are plenty of things that you have done that no one knows anything about, and I've forgiven you because you asked me to. So don't think that somehow you've been wrongly dealt with. This so easy could have been you if I hadn't intervened in your life. And when I look back, and there are a number of occasions like that occasion, where at the time you think, oh, I just wish I didn't have to go through that. But when I look back, I just thank God that he allowed me to do that. And in it, he sustained me. Because I can honestly say that after the first 2 days, which I didn't get out of bed because I was so devastated, but after that, I knew that God was with me. I knew that he was going to defend me. And I didn't have to defend myself. And he's given me a testimony of his graciousness. And what I want you to see here clearly in the story is this. That although we see that God was with Joseph in all these experiences, that he was with him all the time, it did not keep him from being hated by his brothers. Although the Lord was with Joseph all the time, it didn't keep him from being sold as a slave. It didn't keep him from daily temptation. Although the Lord was with Joseph, it didn't keep him from false accusations. It didn't keep him from unjust imprisonment or from daily discouragement. All those things still happened, although God was right with him. But you know, it did keep him from sinning. God kept him from sinning. And it did keep him at the center of God's plans and purposes. You see, God was preparing Joseph for something bigger. And this work that he had to do in him could only be done the way that he did it. And to us, it doesn't make sense. So often when we find ourselves in situations and circumstances that we don't like, or they feel uncomfortable, or they feel unfair, unjust, it's just not right, it's not fair, God is and can be at work. And even if the things around us don't change, what changes is us. Our character, our nature, our spirit, our heart, our trusting in Jesus. Trusting in Jesus isn't just in the good times. I had a very painful conversation with someone earlier in the week whose family are going through a very difficult time. And there's nothing I could say except for faith is trusting in the tough and the dark times as it is in the good, prosperous worldly times. Otherwise, it's not faith. God was with Joseph. He was with him in the pit. He was with him in the palace. And he was with him in the prison. And I don't know where you are on your journey this morning. Maybe you feel like you're in the pit. That you're confused, you don't understand what's happening. It's almost like you've just been dumped there and left there. Maybe you feel like you're in a season of blessing, you're in the palace and you're enjoying the favor of God, and everything you do and touch seems to prosper and is fruitful. You're rejoicing. Or maybe you feel like you're in a prison and you feel like God has abandoned you. Do not take God's silence as his absence. His word tells us today that God was with Joseph. And in the same way, whether you're in the pit, the palace, or the prison, God is with you. And he will fulfill his plans and purposes in and through you if you allow him. Shall we pray? Holy Spirit, we just thank you for your presence. You are with us always. Thank you, Jesus, for your precious gift of your Spirit. Holy Spirit, I thank you that wherever we are on our journey, you are close. You are present. And I pray today that for my brothers and sisters here, Lord, that wherever they are on this journey, that they would know your presence. And they would know just the peace of your presence with them. And Lord, they'd know the wisdom of your presence in any difficult or tough decisions that they need to make, have to make. Lord, I pray for your grace. Lord, for situations that they're facing at this very moment that just overwhelm them, that it just doesn't seem right, it doesn't seem fair, it doesn't seem just. Lord, I pray you would strengthen them. And Lord, Father, for those who are enjoying life, for those who are just rejoicing at your goodness, your grace, your favor, Lord, I pray, Father, that you would remind them and enable them to share that blessing with others and to be a channel of blessing to many. But Father, my guess is that many of us are going through all those things because there's so many ups and downs. But Lord, whatever season we're in, I pray that we would know your presence. Lord, that you would lead us forward individually, as families, as a church family here, Lord, and that we would be in the center of your will. And the gifts and the talents, both natural and supernatural, that you have put within us, Lord, that you would release from within us. And that we would use those gifts to be a blessing and to extend your kingdom. For your glory. Amen.